Well, here in this country, reaction is coming in after the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee unveiled his proposal for tax reform. The word in Washington is that getting anything passed this year could be an uphill climb. But could Republican Congressman Dave Camp's proposal be a blueprint for the future of the tax code? Howard Gleckman is with the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center. He's editor of the blog TaxVox, and he's with us from Monitor Studios in Washington. Howard, welcome back.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, first of all, this is a revenue-neutral plan, which means that the cuts would be offset by increases elsewhere. But tell us the headlines of what this plan would do.
So it does two things. On one side, what it does is it creates three tax rates. We currently have seven. It would create three: 10%, 25%, and 35%. Congressman Camp doesn't like to talk a lot about the 35% rate. He says it's a 10% surtax, but it's really 10, 25, and 35. On the other side, the way he pays for it is he gets rid of dozens and dozens of special interest tax provisions. The most important ones, the biggest ones, are the deduction that we all take for the state and local taxes we pay. He gets rid of the personal exemption. He restructures individual retirement accounts so you can no longer contribute to traditional IRAs, but you can contribute to what they call Roth IRAs. And then he gets rid of a whole bunch of others, both on the individual side and on the business side.
Yeah, and he would tax at 60% or 60% of capital gains at ordinary income tax rates, and he would add this new tax on Wall Street banks, which is not an easy pill for Wall Street to swallow.
There's a lot in here that Republicans don't like. One of the reasons why the main response to Congressman Camp's proposal has been silence among his fellow Republicans is there's an awful lot here that they don't like. He went into this with two instructions from his leadership. The first one was that he had to do this in a way that it did not raise any revenue. And the second was that he had to do it in a way that he created a top rate of no more than 25%, which they had been promising for years. Well, it turned out it was much too complicated to get that 25% rate. So he did it at 25 with a surtax, and he made it revenue neutral. But with those constraints, it was very hard for him to do it, and he had to hit a lot of very popular constituencies among Republicans, banks, investors, certain manufacturing companies, all sorts of folks.
Well, this is why people are taking such interest in this, because it doesn't look like a partisan proposal, right?
That's right. And Dave Camp gets an enormous amount of credit. For years, we've been seeing tax proposals that we like to call the black box tax proposals. What a politician does is he gets up and he says, I'm going to cut the tax rate to 25%. We're going to lower rates for everybody. And then when it comes to saying how, they have nothing to say. They just say, well, it's in a black box. What Camp did was he actually proposed a real tax reform plan that includes rate cuts on one hand, but eliminating special tax preferences on the other. He put his cards on the table, and the response to that is the bill is dead in the water.
Okay, dead in the water, well, right now anyway. But do you think that this has some legs going forward? Is this going to be a blueprint for what happens down the road whenever the tax code is reformed?
I think it is. I think if you go back even to the George W. Bush administration, there have now been four major tax reform proposals. Bush appointed a tax reform commission that recommended a reform that looks in its broad outlines not unlike this one. Everybody remembers the Simpson-Bowles fiscal commission that President Obama ignored, but it designed a tax reform plan that looks a lot like this. A group called the Bipartisan Policy Center did one also back a couple of years ago. It looks a lot like this. So in broad outlines, everybody's tax reform essentially would reduce tax rates and it would eliminate tax preferences. And that's what Mr. Camp does.
But nothing significant has happened in terms of tax reform since 1986 under President Reagan. What did that do and how did he get that done? And what would the lesson be from what Reagan did to now in order to do some kind of reform with the tax code?
So the story of 1986 is really a couple of things. One of them was that there were a handful of Democrats and Republicans in Congress, Senator Bill Bradley, Congressman Jack Kemp, who were passionate about the idea of tax reform. And again, it was this idea of reducing rates and getting rid of special tax preferences. President Reagan glommed onto this in his reelection campaign in 1984. He became a champion for tax reform. And then, interestingly, the Democratic chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Dan Rostenkowski, and the Republican chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, Bob Packwood, and both of these guys were known as people who love to put new special tax breaks into the code, also embraced the idea of tax reform, and they made it a very bipartisan proposal. So the difference between then and now is then it was bipartisan reform. People got together and agreed that we needed to do this basic framework, and everybody was going to win some and everybody was going to lose some. This time, of course, there's no bipartisan agreement on anything at all, and something as big as tax reform is an even bigger challenge. The other thing that made it a little easier was tax rates were much higher then. They were in excess of 50%, and there were a lot of really scandalous tax shelters that was easy to eliminate. The third thing that happened then was they basically used corporate revenue to reduce taxes for individuals, always a nice thing to be able to do because you're actually selling it to individual voters. It's much harder to do those things now, but not impossible.
Howard Gleckman, I just want a yes or no answer to this one. In whatever reform happens, is the mortgage interest deduction going to have to be on the table?
Yes. It is impossible to do it without the mortgage interest deduction.
Howard Gleckman with the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be with you, Jeremy.
This is Here and Now.